true me doing stand up. Gene Simmons came to see me do stand up at New Year's in LA, and his son like listened to one of my CDs and liked it, so he mm-hmm. dragged the whole family out.
Oh wow!
I've never been starstruck before at a show where yeah. I was like, I feel weird about to go on stage. I'm about to go on stage. It wasn't a normal show. It just couldn't be a normal show. It was just too weird to me.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, like a little like 7 or 8 years old or whatever the fuck mm-hmm. I was. I guess I was probably like 11 when Kiss was big. I remember like thinking they were the greatest thing in the history of the world. You know, like this is the greatest band of all time. Like yeah. I was a huge, huge Kiss fan. So to like to be standing there as a grown man, and he's a grown man, and we're at my show, I'm like, that's just too fucking weird. This yeah. is too much for me. I had to address it. I shifted my whole act around. So I could address it because I have
can't
some,
do that whole I have Gene some, Simmons music, punk.
A music thing. No Gene Simmons chunk. Luckily I didn't, right?
There are some people, there are like some young girls who would be more starstruck by Gene Simmons' son if she saw the two of them walking down the street, or some young sure. kids in general.
Well, he's a reality star.
Yeah.
And he's a handsome devil.
Comic
very book tall. Cards. The whole family's very tall. When they were hugging me, I felt like their child. So, all of them were
towering. Were the cameras following them around for the reality show?
No, it was legit. It's just a regular show.
Did you know there's an abandoned zoo in LA in Griffith Park?
And yeah. Abandoned zoo.
Yeah, it closed in the 1960s. It was the first zoo in Los Angeles. They closed it down because it was so fucking small, and so they raised money for the current zoo, and so it was like a mile down the street. And so now I found out the other day that you can actually go to this zoo. It's still there. And
you can walk through it.
Yeah, they filmed the movie Anchorman. There's a scene in it from that movie. So anyways, you go through like this weird trail and you go through this parking lot and then you end up in this zoo. And it looks like, you know, like this is where the tigers were. This is where the elephants were. And then there's like all these cages where there used to be like gorillas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And what's so cool, it's fucking creepily like it's been grown over, like there's plants and stuff like that, and half of the shit's like still standing, the other half is like crumbling, but people hang out there and like would bring blankets, and there was like people playing the Doors in one of the cells. So you're just walking down and you hear, you know, Jim Morrison just kind of echoing throughout.
This sounds a little fantastical. I mean, I live really close to there, and it's not that weird. Like it's a field, like right when you drive in off Riverside there,
right,
it's just up past like the merry-go-round thing, and
right,
there's a big field and then some old cages.
Yeah, you're freaking me out, man.
And then
I don't know about these Doors parties.
And then we walk
in the desert. Man who works there,
did you me? Go to the old house
and he talked to us and he told us where to go, and it turns out he's been dead for 5 years.
See, we climbed through like where the animals walk up and down or through the back, you know?
Yeah.
And there was like people, graffiti artists, like really awesome. Like,
you saw all this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And behind the gate, there was like, you know, like a big drawing of like a gorilla face screaming behind this.
Imagine
gate.
If somebody just clubbed you over the head, and the next thing you know, there was dick in your ass.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Imagine.
I know. I mean, it is.
Oh, that was in the dream
and
too.
What I thought was the creepiest though, it was like mostly women and girls, like just hanging out there, like
what was going on?
I never stuff like that.
So it's a hangout. People hang out.
Yeah, it's like a park almost.
Whoa.
But it was at night?
No, during the day.
So it's a former zoo that you can walk through.
Yeah,
anybody can walk through.
Yeah, and it closed in the 60s. And then you can really explore. There's a lot of trails. You can find like old things that like you can't. It would be really cool to see the blueprint and like, oh, all right, this is where this used to be. This is where these, because there's a. It's like a ghost town. It's creepy as fuck.
I saw most of it, but it sounds what you're saying is. Yeah,
I was working for a private investigator once, and I used to have to do a lot of driving for him. And we were out in the middle of fucking nowhere, like way, way far away. And it was driving back home, and I was bored. And I don't remember the town, but it was a town in the middle of fucking nowhere. And I saw a sign that said the zoo for whatever the fuck this town was. I mean, I'm in the middle of nowhere. So I pull in. I go, okay, let's see what this fucking zoo's all about. Mm. So I go there. There's a tiger that is in like a swimming pool. I mean, this fucking thing has nowhere to move. Whoa. And it keeps pacing back and forth and back and forth. And that's as far as I got. I got to that thing. And I was just so freaked out by the obvious madness that I was seeing, that they had taken some animal and put it in what is really like a swimming pool. And this fucking thing is just going back and forth and back and forth. And there's no room for him.
Like a swimming pool on its side.
When I say a swimming pool, it's like the size of a swimming pool, and it's cement. I mean, it's just this weird fucking thing that this poor creature is stuck in, and he's pacing back and forth, and I'm watching him. I'm like, this is madness. Like, there's some, like, really tiny-ass zoos in some places
where
poor little fucking animals are just, you know. Yeah. Even if you go to a nice zoo, though, does that not ever freak you out? I don't like that feeling of looking at these. I mean, it's cool that we can see them all. I mean,
I was spoiled.
It's educational.
I grew up by one of the best zoos in probably some people consider the whole country or whatever, the Columbus Zoo, where Jack Hanna is from, you know, and all that stuff. So our zoo was a little bit cooler. Like, they had... Because it's Ohio, they had like farmland, you know, zoo, where it was just like this elephant was in like its own like woods. Like it was like it didn't look like a cage. It was just, you know, big, huge exhibits.
Do you think it bothers them though? Okay. If it gets big enough, then it's okay. Is that the justification?
Yeah. Do you know that you're on, you know, where you're at right now? You know, if you grew up on an island like Hawaii or something like that, I mean, that's way bigger, but, you know, elephants, they just want a big thing of grass. I don't think they care like to go hiking.
Are you saying that elephants are in Hawaii? I'm so confused. Where the fuck did Hawaii figure into your equation?
I'm talking about like if animals have enough space. If they have like, you know, football fields.
I agree. I went to the San Diego. Yeah, San Diego Wild Animal Park is pretty dope. And like the one animals that definitely seem happy are the giraffes. They're just kind of like chilling and eating and wandering around. And there's like no one there to jack them. You know, which is, if you're like a gazelle or an antelope or a fucking giraffe or anything, you're always thinking something's going to jack you eventually. You know, you ever see the videos of them taking down giraffes, of lions taking down giraffes? There's a bunch of them online. Yeah. It is crazy, man. It's crazy. One of them, there's a lion and two lionesses, and they take down this giraffe in the middle of a street. And these people are filming this from their fucking car. They're inside their car, and they're filming it through the windshield, and this fucking lion takes down this giraffe right in front of them. Ugh. It's wild, dude. It's so fucking primal. You know, you're right there, and this thing is just, woo!
That shirt is so badass.
I got a Bert Kreischer t-shirt on.
Does he sell those?
I think so.
That is fucking beautiful.
It says, "I am the machine." If you don't know, Bert Kreischer has a fucking hilarious story that he told on this podcast, which is an amazing story of him in Russia. And it's so funny that
somebody
animated that one, right?
Yeah, and I think if I remember correctly, it's like in the hundreds of thousands now.
It's fucking hilarious. I'll find it later and I'll tweet it tonight. But, you know, Bert Kreischer, he's been on the podcast a bunch of times, and he's one of the funniest guys
ever. It's a crazy story. I heard it. He did it at the Improv.
He's so funny, man. He's such a fun guy to be around, man.
Yeah. I didn't realize his, like, history. I mean, I just, you know, he's just a guy that I met around doing comedy. But I didn't know that he was, like the king of college partiers. Yeah. In, like,
Van Wilder.
Van Wilder was, like...
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's like he's a partier, but he doesn't have a fucking mean bone in his
body.
And he hangs out with his fans, that one guy, that Monkey Todd, did that awesome Nancy Grace video, by the way. Did you see that Nancy Grace video?
No.
It was beautiful.
Dude called up Nancy Grace and asked Nancy Grace, you know, what is it, who you want to marry, fuck, or kill?
Right,
And he asked her, you know.
Would you rather, like, want to marry, kill, or fuck Red Band, Sam Tripoli, or Jason Tebow?
And he says it's on TMZ, live.
And Nancy Grace is just sitting there like you could kind of look like she was going to smile but then become angry. Mm-hmm. And then Monkey Todd goes, and would you dry hump Sam Tripoli? And then Harvey, the TMZ host, this was their first serious interview, I heard. Like they were like really like wow, this is the first time we have a serious interview. Harvey was like, is this serious? Really? Like it's uncomfortable to watch that video, don't you think?
No, wasn't uncomfortable. Funny. She's a nonsense person.
She is nonsense.
Dead babies in Florida.
Did you know she was that big?
That's what keeps her in office.
Did you know she was that big? I didn't know she was that big.
Yeah, well, you know, fretting about dead babies in Florida allows you a lot of freedom to eat Cheetos and stuff your face with ring-dings. The dead babies.
It doesn't seem possible.
Is this ring-ding, if I don't eat this ring-ding, is this baby in Florida going to be alive now? I don't think so. And she just eats it.
She's so
it's hard to stay slim when there's so many dead babies.
So
so
it's hard to say.
And she has babies. She has like twin babies, which doesn't seem right. Like she doesn't seem like childbearing.
No,
like, she's like
it seems like monster. That should be physically impossible.
Yeah. Yeah,
her eggs should be just fucking fighting to the death in there.
I question it. I wonder.
Her eggs should look like a gladiator scene.
Yeah,
just fighting each other.
Can you imagine she just had the best pussy ever? Just juicy.
No way.
Just like a fist.
Yeah.
Imagine. Just like it's jerking you off with her vagina muscles. Have you seen that Russian bitch online that can carry like 30 pounds with her pussy?
What?
There's a piercings? Woman who's in the... I don't know how it works. She doesn't really show the gash. But she's got like videos on how to like control your pussy muscles so that you can like pick up weight. You know? Like she would just fucking crush your dick. Just get it in there. Maybe it would be too tight. Maybe it would be uncomfortable. Like a wrestling match with your dick.
Yeah.
You know, like dogs? Like dogs, when they fuck, right. They got a real problem. Because dogs have a bone. And that bone gets locked in there like a fish hook. And sometimes they get stuck.
Right.
It's fucking painful.
Cats do that. Cats are jagged dicks.
What?
Yeah. Have you ever seen a cat dick? It's jagged.
What are you doing jerking off cats, son?
Well...
why'd you see a cat?
But that's why if you hear cats, that's why if you ever hear cats juicy? Fucking, they're screaming.
It's like, wow! So it's painful.
It's painful for the female cat.
That's nuts.
You should Google cat penis right now. You'll be shocked. It looks like
I've been tricked before, but not that easily, Brian. Not that easily.
Cat penis.
Cat penis.
Seriously, look at it.
I guess I need to know.
That's everybody knows what a
dog
dude.
Dick looks like, but very few people know.
Yeah, I've never seen my cat's penis.
No.
So you've never seen it?
No.
And you didn't go take a look? Okay. No. I see little Barbie-looking things. Cat penis spines, they are called.
Ooh.
My goodness. He's telling the truth. This is horrific. Nature is so ruthless. You know what it is? That's to ensure that the male stays in there and shoots his load.
Yeah.
This is horrendous. Nature's so goddamn vicious. What a vicious fucking animal nature is.
Girl cats would just loosen up a little bit. They wouldn't need their Barbie penis to, you know?
That's a wild world we're living in.
Yeah.
The world of the cats, you know?
Just big cats like cats.
Jaguars or little baby cats out there killing mice. It's just the same thing. It's a wild world of fucking moving and killing things smaller than you. You know, we can't even understand what it must be like to try to get some cat pussy.
Mm.
You know, could you imagine? Could you imagine? Yeah. This bitch is in agony. She wants to fuck so bad she's in agony, but she knows you're going to rip her insides up with that needly dick.
Yeah.
And she wants you to just fuck me in with no needles. He's like, baby, the needles are part of the package. And they just circle each other.
That could be a good, like, let's write that script. Catman, like, but he just has a Barbie penis.
Well, that's why dude cats, you know what they like? They like those fluffy cats that just give up. You know, like, what are those called? What is yours
Persians?
Called? Like Persians. Persians. Persians just give up. They're just little slutty cats.
Yeah.
They just relax and just take it. That's why, like, a big tomcat would like a Persian cat around the house. So you could just fuck it random, you know?
Just
because
like
she's not going to fight back much, you know? She's going to barely fight back. She can't fuck with him. Big black street cat.
It's like the Kardashians. They're Persian, aren't they?
No. No, they're Armenian.
Oh.
Did you make a joke about Armenians somewhere on Twitter recently?
No, good. I don't think so.
Have you ever worn a long sleeve shirt?
Oh, no, Jen Kirkman tweeted something. Yeah, she tweeted something about, what is it, an Armenian holiday today or something?
I don't know, is it?
She said something, she said she wasn't going to make any sarcastic tweets about the Kardashians in honor of some Armenian day, and I called her an ass kisser. That was the whole, I didn't say anything negative about Armenians.
I know, you would never do that, right? I would never say anything negative about a group of people that proud. Armenians, they love being Armenian. You know, there's not a lot of Armenians who are like, fuck, I wish I wasn't Armenian. You know, they love being Armenians, you know.
They're proud people.
Cairo Parisian, dude who used to fight in the UFC. He's fucking, what a personality that guy has. He's hilarious. I got this thing that we were having lunch. I got to ask him if I can put this video out. It's a video of him joking around about his nickname was the Heat, and joking around about giving girls the heat and telling them, what are you doing? You're taking the heat, take the heat. And he's like yelling about it. He's like, he's so Armenian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so fucking hilarious. You know those really aggressive, funny Armenian type guys?
Yeah. That's I don't know a ton of them. I've only lived out here for...
They're like extreme Italians.
A few years.
Yeah. They're like Italians.
Extremes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I actually had Armenians hook me up at the tire center the other day, which was the most weirdest thing. There were six Armenians. They all came out, circled around the car, and were like, hey, how's it going? Oh, you got two nails in your tire. We'll change them and patch them. And he goes, you know what? It's on us. And I'm like, what? Really?
Dude,
that's awesome.
What the fuck is
you
that?
Know, you always hear bad things about people, Russian people and Armenian people, and you know, people from, you know, what we consider like hard places. You know,
yeah.
I've meet a lot of great Armenian people. Armenian people have a lot of passion. You know, there's something about real ethnic groups. You know, a real group like the Armenians. You know, they stick to their culture. And when I was growing up, I always thought culture is kind of bullshit. Like, who gives a fuck? You know, like, you know, does it really matter if you behave exactly the way everybody else behaves? But when you see like a really tight knit ethnic community, and you appreciate not that they're racist or biased against anybody else, but that they have like this real distinct flavor to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way they behave, you know, the things they like, you know, they have this real distinct, it's real uniqueness to it that makes it interesting. It's one of the interesting things about life. You know, one of the things I was thinking about when I was in New Orleans this weekend, I was like, this is a completely different way to live your life. Like, here there's these people that are living, this is a totally different flavor, a very unique flavor of its own. You know, it almost was like a race. You know, like New Orleans people are almost like it's from another country. But I think that, you know, when people get assimilated, it's the perfect thing is to have, you know, everybody be cool with everybody. And there's, you know, no people who are prejudiced against any particular group, because we're all some sort of weird shade of gray now. We've all interbred to the point where there's no distinctiveness between, you know, no way of distinguishing us between anybody else. We're all just one sort of individual type of thing. But along the way, man, we're gonna lose a lot of fun. You know, there's a lot of fun in people being weird.
Yeah,
there's a lot of fun in, you know, Armenian dudes who are like wearing gold chains and trying to get some pussy. Guys are awesome, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys are fucking. But are they?
What
man.
About the Kardashians? Though are Armenians?
I believe
proud
they are.
Of that.
Yeah.
Are they? No, but is that like? If you make fun of the Kardashians, like, is an Armenian guy going to punch me in the face?
I don't think they claim them. I don't think the Armenians claim them.
Yeah.
Because it seems like she's trying to be a white girl. Yeah. It's different, you know. I think our Armenian women, I don't want to speak for Armenian women, so I won't say. Well, listen, they have to, like, forget about whatever the fuck, you know, she's, you know, is she worthwhile? Is she worth anything? What's the point? We're talking about her. She's entertaining. Just as, like, Max and Ruby is a cartoon that my kids love. It's this little rabbit show. It's a fucking show. It's entertaining. Uh-huh. Maybe not to you.
I've never heard of it. Kids. I don't have kids.
To someone, this Kardashian show is fucking awesome. All right?
Oh, I
to
guess
that,
so.
To that person, they deserve it. As ridiculous as ridiculous as it is. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know if the Armenians claim her, but they should.
You see that?
She's a badass bitch when it comes to like being like good at that. You know, you got to recognize
like Paris Hilton.
Yeah,
kind of.
Well,
yeah,
she took the Paris Hilton did. Thing to yeah. some completely new level, to the point where every time I'm at the airport, I'm throwing my fucking sneakers into a bin. I'm looking at her face. Yeah. There's like ads where it's her and a couple other famous people. And every time I'm like, wow, this girl started off in a fucking porno movie.
Yeah,
and
that's
now
crazy,
I'm
right?
putting my change on her face. You know, this is so strange, you know, but you got to. I love it. I love the madness of it. I love how ridiculous it is. I've gotten to the point where I love Rick Perry. I see him talk, and I know he's a stuttering fuck. I know he's just like Bush. I know he's going to do the exact same shit, maybe even weirder. You know, maybe even weird. He reminds me of
dude, yeah.
Josh Brolin playing W in the movie. That's what he reminds me of. And I look at him, but I like it. I like that he's there. I'm enjoying that he's there.
But then it's just like, so
I don't know what
just giving up on everything. I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat where it's like, all right, I mean, I can either be walking around like furious out of my mind all the time, or just like don't really pay attention to it and enjoy the absurdity of it all.
Is
like
it
watching Mitt Romney
and
Rick Perry. Like I just saw on the news, I don't know what they were like debating each other. And it's like,
who's crazier? Who but believes in
like,
crazier
they're
shit?
They're the same dude. Like, that's like from an 80s movie. Like, they're like politicians. They're like the archetype, like, bad politician guy from like an 80s movie or something. It's just like this, like, robot dude. They're both exactly the same.
I think we're
and
getting.
And that's like your choice.
We're getting a real clear message. A real clear message with politics over the last decade or so. It's that what you're seeing on television, the people that are talking, that's the guy who got that spot. That's all that is. And that guy is he's instructed, he's pushed into a certain direction by all the people who got him to that position. It's so clear.
Yeah,
it's
so
obvious. There can be no denying it. When you look at it now, to take it seriously, as in, you know, to take it to think that there's really some sort of a big vote going on and we're going to change the way the whole thing works. Hey, I hear they're going to throw out the Federal Reserve. Really?
Yeah, right.
It's going to go back to the only living by the Constitution. Yeah. We're going to cut the number of laws back dramatically. We're going to let people have states' rights again. Yeah. We're going to get rid of all these. How long would that last?
No, oh, yeah.
They would kill that guy. They would kill that guy in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We all agree
just
to that.
Just the
guy
saying like, "Oh no, I don't think I can sign that bill called the Clean Air Act that actually lets you pollute more."
Well, people tell you, "Well, that's ridiculous. You're being cynical. This is a terrible message to send out. You haven't really researched this enough to be absolutely accurate. And yet you're saying this damaging thing that voting doesn't change anything, and you're sending a terrible message to people." But at what point in time are you allowed to be objective? At what point in time do you look at a guy like Obama who acts like a Republican and does all this creepy shit that if GW was doing it, liberals would be fucking calling in to newspapers every day and protesting every day. He's doing shit that's just like the stuff that Bush did. And yet somehow or another, liberals aren't even saying anything about it. It's so bizarrely creepy and so bizarrely weird. Just like Windows versus PC. It's like the same sort of retard battle going on. It's the same sort of weird control over some fucking boat that doesn't even have a steering wheel. It's like one day you break into the fucking main cabin. All right, we finally got to the head of the boat. There's no steering wheel on this fucking boat. There's nothing. There's no instruments. It's smooth as glass. Yeah. You can't affect this fucking thing at all. You could spend your whole life chipping away at this insanely corrupt system. Good luck. Look at when you see anybody that challenges any of the mainstream ideas that we've come to accept. Like, look at a guy like Ron Paul. They duck that fucking guy every chance they get.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen polls where they ignore the number one guy and focus on the two and three, the real battle between Rick Perry and Mitt Romney. And they were literally ignoring that Ron Paul was winning things. Just ignoring him. Just not even talking about him.
Yeah.
Because he's just telling them they're doing everything wrong. We're doing everything wrong. And the people are going, yes! And the TV people
When Howard Dean said, yeah! And
well,
fucking... But is that really fucking
He fucked up. Like, he fucked up. He fucked up. I think they set him up, too. They didn't
It was manipulated. Yeah. Like, they took that footage and really twisted it into something.
Well,
absurd.
I remember it was Morning Mattress material. You know, there was a show that I always think of when I think of morning shows. Charles Lacordaire, The Mattress in the Morning in Boston.
Oh, okay.
They would play something along these lines.
Yeah.
So you know that every fucking single wacky morning zoo radio station played.
Totally.
He had that crazy yell that he yelled out. Yeah. And it became a joke. It became a national joke in the matter of days. You remember it, right? Mm-hmm. Howard Dean did a campaign speech and he's like, "Hey, we're going to Vermont. Then we're going to go to New Hampshire." And all they did was take that and they're like, "No fucking way, dude. You can't ever like that and be president."
They took it from like his body mic when he was yelling to like, you know, a couple thousand people.
Granted, but could you imagine if Obama ever yeah'd like that?
Well, ever since Howard Dean did that, you're not allowed to show any emotion anymore. I mean, they have playbooks now where they're like, "No, don't show any emotion. Just put the... This is still in when you make your fist, like, put
Isn't
your thumb
amazing?
Out a little."
Isn't it amazing?
And don't ever answer a fucking question. No matter what you do, never fucking give a direct, definitive
answer.
And
once people decide that Howard Dean is done, Howard Dean is done. Yeah. He's just pushed to the side. Like, he was the front runner.
Yeah.
He was the number one
a
guy.
Surgeon from Vermont, like, you
Brilliant
know.
Brilliant man.
You know?
Brilliant man.
And,
great speaker.
Got a little emotional.
Good morals.
Get the fuck out of here.
You know, I kind of like him even more now because he's so uncensored when he talks about things. And Vermont's a very interesting place, too. He's from Vermont.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's like, it's really northern and rural, but it's really smart.
Have you ever done a gig there?
Yeah. I've done a gig in Burlington when I was living in Boston. I did a weekend there once. It was fucking great, man. I was like, wow, what a crazy... And they were like, "Winters are tough, though." That's what everybody said.
I have a friend who lives in Brattleboro.
Yeah.
And Yeah, winters are fucking... I wouldn't want to be there in the winter.
It's there's a certain quality of your life that you sacrifice when you live in some place that's brutally cold.
Well, it's the way it's so rural that you have... Everybody's got like a 45-foot kind of dirt driveway thing. And then when it snows and freezes, it's can't drive my truck down there. It'll fucking slide into a tree.
Well, up in Big Bear, a lot of people drive around with fucking chains on.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're required probably. In certain areas. At least you used to be. You know, I know they make like studded snow tires and shit, so you can deal with that. Like a lot of people in Colorado, they had that. But
no, chains are required. Yeah,
but a place like Vermont, it's fucking cold for a good 5 or 6 months. It's really cold.
Yeah,
fuck, is it beautiful up there though, man? It's one of the few places that's like hasn't been fucked with. Yeah. You know, because there's just, you know, it's a fairly small population, and it's got an incredible amount of wildlife, an incredible amount of like woods and you know, just beautiful nature shit to look at. You know, when you're driving, the drive up to Burlington, you're like, God, look how beautiful it is up here.
Yeah.
Just clear air and not that many people, and it's almost...
No outdoor advertising in Vermont, too. No billboards, no outdoor...
You can't advertise outdoors?
Mm-mm.
Wow. Yeah, they're real hippie. That's where Ben & Jerry comes from.
Yeah.
You know, Ben & Jerry's ice cream? They came from Vermont. They're real super still hippie there, up there. Yeah. Are they up there still?
Yeah, you can actually go to the factory.
And do the dudes live up there too? Or do they fucking fake it and they're in Miami? Getting their dick sucked.
Probably. I mean, what? I don't know. I
think balling.
Sucking each other's dick.
Can you imagine if they were just became super rich and then just became ballers, but then they have to like put on the fucking Birkenstocks for their ad campaigns? I just want to be out there doing blow. And
that's a funny idea. That'd be a funny like sketch for
fake,
like Mad TV.
Fake hippies.
Like fake Ben and Jerry. Get those guys. And when they get big, they're like P. Diddy and fucking just totally shift gears.
Or Ben and Jerry's becomes like McDonald's where a different guy plays it in every store. Hey, I'm Ben. Yeah. You're Jerry.
Yeah, yeah.
We started off this park. Company. Yeah, you have a fucking Ben and Jerry's show that goes on before the actual ice cream gets served.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Ben and he's Jerry. Are you sure? I thought I was Jerry. Yeah. Yeah, how the fuck did that McDonald's thing happen? Remember when there's like real clowns dressing up as McDonald's and you can go to McDonald's like certain days and Ronald McDonald would be there and you're like, holy shit, there's a guy, a Ronald McDonald's going to be at this, and people would get excited about it. How ruthless is McDonald's?
They still do that. I had a roommate who was a clown. He would do Ronald McDonald shit appearances. It's
amazing, man. What a tricky way to rope kids in and eat your fucking food.
You know? Yeah, man.
I was just to think that about, you know, when you think about the most delicious cereal, it's all the worst shit for you. And it's all the ones with the big, attractive cartoon faces on it. Like, it literally is designed to get little kids to go, ooh, look! Like, it speaks to them.
A cereal called Cookie Crisp? That's not going to be appealing to a kid?
Well, you could have a cereal box that was all white that said, Captain Crunch Peanut Butter.
Right.
And you would look at it and go, fuck yeah. Mm. You could be completely white with like black letter. But to a kid, that's going to be completely unattractive.
Right. Because
they can't fucking read. They're getting them before they even can read.
Yeah.
All the little kid has to see that and go, I want this. I want this. Like my 3-year-old can't read, but she looks at Captain Crunch and it looks fun.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Fruity Pebbles, Blueberry. It looks fun.
Dude, what's a blueberry?
They still make blueberry.
Yeah,
I saw
it yesterday. Did you know blueberry in Ohio? There was no such thing as blueberry. They had only the strawberry and the chocolate. But then I would go on vacation in Florida.
Frankenberry and okay.
Did you feel left out? Did you feel like
I would go to Florida on vacation and buy boxes of it as a
load
kid.
Up a U-Haul with
my mom
blueberry.
Would be like, Mom, please, this is my favorite cereal. So she would spend like $30 and buy as much blueberry.
$30. Really? You feel a little discriminated against?
It was rude. There's no reason for that. Blueberry's the best one, and you don't sell it in certain markets.
I don't think I've ever had blueberry.
Oh, it's great.
Or the strawberry one.
Go to CVS, they sell
it. My folks wouldn't buy us the sugary stuff. I mean, I've had it as an adult.
Good for them. My parents bought it very sparingly. They let us have it like every now and then, and you'd like pick a favorite. You know, be able to just eat this stupid shit. They would indulge us. They would also let us like eat TV dinners. We wanted to eat TV dinners for some stupid reason. They're disgusting. But for whatever reason,
mashed
the Salisbury steak. I was like, I want to eat a TV dinner.
Yeah.
I wanted to eat the dumbest shit. So they would let me every now and then. But for the most part, they wanted me to eat healthy. So I didn't get to eat too many of those. But when I could, when I got a chance, man. Oh,
fuck yeah. God, like what we were talking about earlier. Once you tell people they can't do shit, then it's on. It's like, really? I want some of that.
Yeah, imagine if you grew up a vegan. You would just like hunger for chicken livers and
yeah,
hearts and meat and legs of lamb.
Yeah,
you smell it in restaurants and know you can never have it.
Milk.
Yeah, no shit. You're just getting seeds. Here, eat these seeds. They have a full spectrum.
Yeah.
Of alpha-lipoic acids. It's all vital nutrients. Eat these seeds. You can get everything in just the seeds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Could you ever go vegan?
I'd give it a shot. I mean, I wouldn't have any... I mean, just for kind of like to see how it makes me feel and like to kind of clean out. Like, you know, just eating kind of raw. I would do like raw diet or... I don't know much about it, but I'd try like... I think, yeah, I could go vegan. Not fish. I like fish too much.
I like eggs too. I could try vegetarian for a little while. I think there's some merit to vegetarian. I think it definitely probably changes your personality too. I think it's been at least with anecdotal evidence proven that people who eat meat are more aggressive than people who are vegetarians. Kind of makes sense if you think about just the nature aspect of it. Even though we're not going out and getting the stuff, even though we're not killing it ourselves,
that makes sense.
We're still eating it. You know, we're still getting it.
You're eating flesh. Yeah.
So the attitude that you must have, like the cultivating your body, if you're a flesh eater, a constant flesh eater, it's got to be a more predatory attitude. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how the real...
Or it probably just keeps something triggered in your body of like, you know, that
I'm totally guessing here. Totally talking out of my ass because obviously I don't know how the real reward system works with like eating meat and getting aggressive. Yeah. But we all associate like steak with aggression. It's like a natural association. You know, what's a man's meal? It's fucking steak, yeah. Right?
Makes sense to me. Sold.
Yeah.
I'm doing no further research. I'm going to repeat what you said as fact to other people now.
I think if we all ate shit that was like grass-fed, if we all ate just grass-fed beef, mm-hmm. there would be way less of it, but it'd be way better for you. And people would probably enjoy it more. But there's certainly, at this point, I think there's just too many goddamn people and not enough food, you know, to live like that.
That scares me, man.
It's like, terrifying.
I mean, there are a lot of, you know...
We would have to have monstrous, monstrous farms to compete with some of these crazy chicken farms where they fucking grow them all stuffed together. Yeah. I mean, that freaks everybody out when you watch those chicken videos. But if they weren't like that, like how much farm acreage would it cost? How much more would it cost? Is it at a point where we need cheap food so much that they have to do shit like this? Because that's fucked up. And I'm not insinuating that they are. I'm just raising the question. That is fucked up. If that's the case... If it's like we need to do like the factory farming thing because there's fucking way too many of us, and they're just sending chickens out the moment they shit them out, they're fucking pumping them up with hormones because they gotta get them big quick so they can ship them out to the 300 million motherfuckers. And out of those 300 million, how many are farmers? Mm-hmm. How many out of 300 million people are farmers? Is it even a million? No, it's not one in 300. One in 300 people isn't a farmer. Do you think there's a million farmers? In this country, is there a million?
I'd probably say there's a different kind. Different I don't kinds know, man. Farmers. A million. Yeah.
Either way,
maybe. Even, I mean, there are
let's,
like.
Let's look at
like
it. Let's we, obviously, folks, for you Googling right now, looking back, these fucking guys are so off with their numbers. All I'm trying to say is, could you imagine if that was the case? If it was one in every 300, could you imagine if one person had to take care of 300 fucking people?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I would just eat a lot of water.
It should be like...
You imagine really one person. You had to feed 300 people.
That's true. One person on your
one
own.
One person feeds 300 people. What the fuck? Employed. That would be so hard. No, you'd have to do it by yourself. You couldn't employ anybody because we have 300 million people. In order for our numbers to work, you can't employ anyone because it's one out of 300. And we're being super generous. We're saying there's 1 million farmers. So that's where it gets fucking Looney Tunes, man. Obviously, it doesn't work like that. They have 100 people, and they do the work of 5,000 individuals or more. You know, I know obviously it doesn't work like that, but it almost seems like at this point the resources versus population is in a weird place where we need an incredible amount of food, and we all sort of take for granted that it's out there. You know, like who's providing all of this? You know. It's a lot of fucking food.
And if the three of us went out right now and had like 2 hours to just buy as much food as possible, we could each buy so much fucking food.
Yeah, instantly. It's amazing.
Like just fast food. Like if we had like an hour to buy as unlimited fast, like we could buy probably, I mean,
a van full.
More, yeah. 250 cheeseburgers a piece.
It's just, to me, staggering the way we have grown from being hunter-gatherers to people who lived in, like, small villages to cities where we have to get the stuff sent in every day in trucks. Hmm. Just more meat for the wheel over and over again. Trucks and trucks of meat are just pumping into the city all day long. And it's really only been going on for a few hundred years. That's nuts, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's almost like there's a living machine called civilization, and its blood is animals.
I mean,
and
not even pumped, a few hundred,
it's pumped
really.
Alive by blood. You know, the blood in the trucks, it's almost like individual blood cells, you know, but it's not. It's on a,
it's like
know,
a circular,
on a much larger system. Scale. It's like, yeah, just meat delivery devices.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps, these are the the meat delivery devices to the city that keeps it moving at this insane pace where you can fit 7 million people on one square floating place and have them stacked on top of each other and just keep sending them meat.
I saw that movie Contagion yesterday.
Did it freak you out?
It was good. It didn't really freak me out. I don't think it sucked.
Thought it sucked, Brian?
I heard a lot of people say it sucked.
I liked it. But tell me if this is right. Does Tokyo have 36 million people?
Something crazy like that. They're packed
that
in there.
That blew my fucking mind. Because they were talking, you know, like as the thing. I mean, everybody knows enough that it's about a disease that spreads. And they would show like, you know, New York population, whatever, 8 million, whatever lives in New York, California or Los Angeles population this. And then they would go to Tokyo and it said 36.4 million. And I was like,
that's incredible.
That's like five times.
Do you think that's like the goldfish rule? Like the bigger the bowl, the bigger the fish, and that's why Asians, for the most part, seem, you know, a little bit smaller built. And
that's interesting.
You know,
that's very interesting, Brian. That's an interesting physiological theory, one that, you know, people would consider. It's funny if you judge any group like that, say a lot of Asians are small, all of a sudden you're tipping on the verge of the swimming pool filled with racism. Like, you, like right there, what are you saying? Are you saying Asians are small?
But hey, there are actual statistics you can look at, like the average height and weight of them, and right? Like they are,
but still, it's a weird thing. If you make an observation, there's always the danger of being called a racist.
Yeah.
Even a little observation. It's not at all.
I dated a girl from Japan, and she took me on a picnic at a dog park. That's racist.
Yes, that is racist. Because I don't think Japanese people even eat dogs.
No,
dude.
But that's racist to think that they did.
That joke's offensive. It's racist. On so many levels.
Joke sucks. Yeah. The joke's illogical. Yeah, more offensive. It makes people go.
Level.
Yeah, that joke makes people go. People don't eat dogs in Japan. That's what they do. They don't laugh. Yeah. You would get a whole audience filled of people going, people don't eat dogs in Japan.
Yeah.
That would be the sound in the audience. People don't eat dogs in Japan.
That's more racist than
nobody eats dogs in Japan.
Yeah, but that would be acceptable in Midwest. Yeah, they eat dogs in Japan. I know they do.
It does make sense what you said, because in other animals, that is definitely the truth. Like these guys that I know told me that they could get me some baby crocodiles. I had a giant fish tank, and I was looking for some exotic shit to put in my... I had piranhas for a little while.
Oh, man.
I got bored with them, and I wanted to get some crocodiles.
That seems like such a bad
and
idea.
And so, it's a terrible idea. But this is what I was saying. I was saying, okay, well, how big are these motherfuckers going to get? Why would I have crocodiles? Because we can get you crocodiles.
Oh, yeah.
I go, you can get me crocodiles. I go, how big are these crocodiles going to get? He goes, oh, you don't have to worry about it. I go, what do you mean? He goes, as long as the tank is small, they won't get big. I go, what?
Really?
What?
No way.
What? Yes, yes, yes. He said, how big's your tank? It was like, I don't remember how big it was, but it was about 9 feet long. It was a really big fish tank. And he said, maybe I'm exaggerating, 7 feet long.
Oh, that's
it was
true.
A really
that's
big,
a big
fish
tank.
It was big. It was very big. He said, they'll never get more than a few inches.
Yeah, my dad
did
bought...
Did you get them?
No. I think they're super illegal. And I didn't know the dude that well. And what if he was a fucking cop?
Right.
Yes.
What if it was a
some,
setup?
Turns out Rogan's in the.
I got you some crocodiles, brother.
My dad built this huge pond in his backyard, and he got like one of those like 100 worth of 100 like 100 goldfish at a pet store, like almost feeder goldfish, you know, like shitty goldfish. Throws them in the pond. He took a couple out and put it in this other separate pond. The fish in the Gold Pond are still alive. A lot of them are alive. I would probably say like 20 of them are still alive. And now they're huge. Like they're monster goldfish. Yeah. The other two are normal goldfish.
Right. It's weird. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
They almost look like
koi.
Environment.
They almost look like koi.
Well, I think koi and goldfish are pretty related, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they look related. Shit. Yeah. What is with kois and tattoos? What's that supposed to signify? The koi becomes a dragon or some shit? Everybody's got koi fish.
It's some Japan thing, I think.
Some dope ass Japan shit.
Japan shit legend.
They figured out tattooing. They figured out how to make like a sleeve. They're the ones who first figured that shit out.
Really?
Like, to make like big bold pieces. You know, like the old days.
Do you
like,
have a koi fish?
No, I don't have any koi fish. I do have a dragon though, and a tiger, and a samurai.
How long have you been Japanese doing that?
Shit. This one's 6 years old, and this one's 2 years old.
Oh, you had that all done at the same time.
Yeah, this dude, Aaron Delavadova from Guru Tattoo in San Diego. He's a fucking badass artist. Yes. And I just always enjoyed tattoos. I always liked them. I think you're wearing some cool art on your skin, you know, and there's a lot of people attach a lot of weird shit to it. Like, you don't have to do it. But to me, like, I take care of my body, and I'm healthy and everything, but I want to decorate it the way I want to. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, for some people, it's a weird thing. It weirds them out. Tattoos weird them out. Tattoos weird people out because they're permanent. You know, when you have tattoos, it's like, he's willing to do something permanent. But you're not really.
I have some dumb tattoos.
There's no problem. What do you got?
I have Aussie Rules tattooed on my toes.
Do you really?
Are you serious?
Before Aussie came back, like, it was...
That's weird.
How old were you when you got that?
26.
I was waiting to hear 33.
No, 26, 27.
Yeah.
And but it was before the Osbournes and stuff. Like, it was really? Like, yeah. It was me and my friend were talking about,
would you have done it, or were you disappointed once the Osbournes came out? Were you like, fuck, man, now it's mainstream?
Not really. I mean, it's on my toes, but it definitely made the joke, like, not funny anymore. Because you used to see, like, Ozzy written bathroom stall. I used to see Ozzy Rules written everywhere.
Right.
And you just didn't see it anymore. And I was like, Ozzy still fucking rules, man. Like, we saw this interview with him on, like, VH1 Behind the Music, me and my friend. And they asked Ozzy what the key to happiness was. And Ozzy said, the key to happiness is appiness. And they were like, what? And he's like, appy knees. The key to happiness is appy knees. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he stands up and pulls his pants down. And he's got smiley faces tattooed on his knees. And he goes, appy knees. Appy knees. What? I thought it was funny. I was like, Ozzy rules, man.
It is funny. It's just not funny enough to laugh. It's like funny enough to smile.
I don't know, man. Ozzy was pretty. He's a pretty funny character.
Yeah,
like, he did a lot of crazy shit.
It's amazing he's still alive, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, he's one of those dudes. They're like, wow, he made it through.
Yeah, and now he's like this mainstream. Like, did you ever think you'd see Ozzy Osbourne doing like a fucking? I don't know. He's in some
sitcom,
like,
sort of a thing with his wife and his kids on TV.
Well, there's that, but commercials too. You see him in pretty mainstream commercials.
Really?
For like fucking for like DirecTV and shit.
Yeah. Weird.
Or like cars, probably. I don't know. I don't really pay attention.
I think as we get older,
I just say things.
As we get older, we're more willing to take shit from crazy people that we like than we ever were before. You know, like, look, this Chris Brown dude who beat up that Rihanna chick, he's sort of making a comeback. You know, and it's like all these award shows and shit, and apparently he's super talented, and a great singer, and there's some people that are accepting it, and some people not, and like, look at this Michael Vick thing. Michael Vick killed a bunch of dogs, and now he's back playing it. You can't tell me this is the same world that I grew up in, because this is a different world. This is a different world.
Yeah,
this is a stranger world. People are getting away with more.
People are more forgiving because more people are fucking up and doing weirder, creepier shit
because
of the internet and stuff, man.
The bar is going higher and higher.
People are doing more deviant shit, so they're like, well, let's not be so hard on that guy because, I don't know, maybe I want to fucking try some of that weird shit or whatever.
Well, don't you think that people have bounced back from shit that they could have never bounced back from before?
You know, sports, I think Michael Vick is definitely something that wouldn't have happened 25 years ago.
I'm shocked.
But, I mean, when you're that, like, I think the morals of our entire cultures have just been eroded a little bit. Like, I don't think that would have been acceptable in the early
80s. It
doesn't
seem like it would. It's also fascinating.
You have a guy that talented too who can, you know. But yeah, I don't think money overrode everything 25 years ago.
Could you imagine if Clinton was in office today?
Oh man.
Could you imagine all the Twitter messages that like interns would be throwing back and forth, because he would get busted for sure way quicker if he was in office today.
Yeah, yeah.
You think about the crazy shit that dude did.
So many more avenues of him, like, yeah.
He was always my proof. You know, like when he got his dick sucked by that chick, I was always like, God damn it, I fucking knew it. I knew it. I knew they have to be crazy to get in there. You can't really be that guy you're selling, man. You can't. You're not going to have the kind of energy.
I mean, everybody likes blowjobs, though, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody likes blowjobs, but Clinton would just whip his dick out on people. He would just get alone with girls and just whip his dick out.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he that out of control?
Oh, he was a maniac. He's a fucking savage.
Huh.
God bless him.
Yeah.
God bless. He's just one of those dudes that just couldn't help but swing. I can't help but swing. I saw the pitch. Here it comes. He just loved it.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of chicks doing that to him.
Could you imagine if he existed during the, you know, the days of today of Wienergate? Fuck yeah, he could have been set up. I bet he liked to get drunk. I bet he liked to get drunk and bang state troopers, like hot police troopers.
Yeah,
you know,
how hot would that be in the back of a police car?
There's a lot of girls. There's a lot of girls. I bet his pussy output tripled after that Monica Lewinsky thing. Because there's a lot of girls that just want to let him know that they can keep their mouth shut. Listen, I know you had that problem with Monica, but, you know, and she's a little girl, and it's not me, and I'm a grown woman, and I know what I want, and what I want is you, and I don't need anything other than you in my mouth, and that's the end of it. And he'd be like, well, hell, I think we've said enough. He was just dropping loads on dresses and shit. He wasn't even insisting she get rid of the evidence. Baby, this could make people in another part of the world with my DNA. We can't have that.
He seemed to be a good president, dress. Though.
Yeah, he was a freak, though. Sticking fucking cigars in bitches' pussies.
That's so funny.
I don't know if he was a good president, man. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe when he
seemed
was
like
in...
things weren't that
maybe
off
he
the
was,
rails.
When he was on the show, the writers had it written in a more happy, friendly way.
I thought you were insinuating he did your podcast.
I know.
Could you imagine?
What? He was on the show?
No.
Let's start a lobby to get him on the show.
I am the president for 8 years. And it was, for the most part,
I think he was kind of the last good guy in there. I mean, there's only been...
Was he, though? Was he? I don't know.
I don't know. Obama's probably a good guy.
I don't know if any of them are good guys. I'm not sure what I believe anymore.
You
got to
do some
anymore.
Fucked up shit to get that far.
Yeah, I don't think you could be just some regular fucking dude with some unique ideas and get all the way to be president. You have to have compromised yourself so deeply along the line. And obviously, I've done no research whatsoever to substantiate any of these
claims. Makes sense, though.
This is just talking shit at 10 o'clock in the evening. You know, after being in the hot sun all day and barely able to talk. I don't know. I don't believe it, though. Do you believe it?
You know, a good guy can make it this far? No.
Do you think, how much say do they ultimately have?
Agree to letting unspeakable things happen on the regular.
Yeah. How much say do you think you have? do you think you could even rewrite the script?
Yeah, if you want to get your head blown off like John F. Kennedy.
Well, a lot of people don't believe that that's the case. A lot of people believe that it was Lee Harvey Oswald and he got lucky and that people make a big deal out of nothing.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, Kennedy, Martin Luther King, both Kennedys. I mean, it just seems like anybody who's kind of like steering us towards some decent change winds up with their fucking head blown off by a lone fucking crazy gunman.
Yeah.
Even John Lennon, dude. Like, I mean, that dude could have started a revolution. He was like a really popular guy.
Isn't it just so tempting to fall into the idea of conspiracy and collusion? And it's very sexy. It's very tempting.
But I mean, it doesn't seem like there's balance on the other side. Like, why didn't Nixon ever get shot? Or like, I mean, Reagan did. I guess that's a.
You mean balance on the side? Yeah, Reagan. Yeah, you know, man. He was one of the most rah-rah of all.
But I don't know. It seems like, you know, Gandhi, like, there's no real, Dick Cheney never got fucking shot at.
Because he was on Team Psycho. And is it possible that the psychos on...
they're always going to be the good guys.
They target the guys who are for peace and love and change.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
But they went after Reagan.
I wonder, Reagan might have been... maybe that was a random thing. Maybe that really wasn't planned because he didn't die. Or maybe they were just sending him a message.
remember
that. We'll shoot you in the gut.
Watching that on TV going, God damn, they shot that actor dude who's now the president.
Somebody has a joke about...
I was a little kid, you know?
Him and Leslie... Like, if he never became president, he would have the same career that Leslie Nielsen had. I forget whose fucking joke it is.
Oh, that's brilliant. It's so true. Bedtime for Bonzo. Did you ever see that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm familiar with it.
A monkey.
Yeah, yeah. He did a couple. Wasn't there... There's a couple Bonzo movies, aren't there?
I think so. I don't know. I watched like 5 seconds of it and go, what the fuck is going on? I think he's in more than one monkey movie. It just shouldn't be legal that if you're a person who is a professional pretender that you go on to be the guy who tells the truth to the nation. That just seems ridiculous.
Well,
if you're
he was really awesome
at lying.
Yeah, well, it was just like, I don't think he made one decision the whole time. I think there were people, there was like Dick Cheney was telling him what to say. Like there was a commission of fucking assholes who were like, all right, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Here's the script. You're an actor. Act.
You know what I loved? I loved
kick him out through the door.
He's responsible for one little speech that is one of my favorite speeches of any president, because he talks about how would we respond if we were all on this earth facing a threat from another world.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how would we respond? How quickly would we forget our differences?
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, that's brilliant.
It's a cool speech.
It's so true. It's a great speech. And it makes you go, what the fuck does he know?
Well, yeah. What does he really know? Into the fucking Star Wars shit, too. Yeah. Like, he wanted to make that, you know, that missile defense system start. Like, maybe the aliens were like, hey, man, we're going to fuck with you guys soon. I don't know. Who knows what's going on with
Didn't
all that?
George Lucas, during the Star Wars thing, go, hey, this is copyright infringement. Why were they allowed to call it Star Wars program?
I guess because they're not...
They're allowed to do anything they want.
I don't know. They're a government. But they're not doing it for, like, profit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a defense.
You know, there's some big conspiracy theory about people who created Star Wars, that the strategic defense system Star Wars, that it was all bullshit, and that the scientists, one by one, have been killed off. Apparently, 22 different scientists who worked on it were killed in strange ways.
Are you serious?
Asphyxiation, suffocation, decapitation, death leap, shotgun blast, missing person, auto accident. Over and over again, all these different scientists.
I don't want this
According to the internet.
Oh.
I don't know.
Is it corroborated by more than one
dude? Listen, man, I did a first thing I went to on Google.
Did Star Wars
then I'm gonna regurgitate that as fact.
Just go for it, dude. They're all 22 SDI researchers, all supposedly
22 out of how many?
It's a good question. But 22, period.
That's a lot.
Let's say if there's a 100.
If comedians started like dying like
how many
that,
do you think there were?
I'd fucking skip town.
Yeah, that would be gross. Would it be hundreds? How many people you would think that would be?
What?
That if they did that.
If they started killing comedians?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just saying if 22 comedians died in suspicious ways, I would fucking, you know, that's too big of a number for one.
But out of all the...
I'd get a puppet immediately.
Out of all the scientists that were involved... No, I'm sorry. My question was, do you think there was like 300 guys? Like how many different guys do you think were working for this Star Wars company? Was it 1,000?
I would say thousands. Yeah, I would say thousands.
Even if it's
but
thousands.
That would be from this janitor.
22 kill themselves, man?
Yeah.
Or just disappear.
It becomes, as the number becomes bigger and bigger, it becomes more and more silly.
Mm.
You start looking at it and you go, well, if there was a million scientists, 22
but
killed
themselves.
But
there's not a bunch of them. Like, there wouldn't be that many that had, like, crazy... Not everybody has, like, crazy security levels. Like, you wouldn't have to kill everybody. Like, every guy that's screwed in a fucking light bulb.
Well, maybe you would, though. Because maybe what was going on was so fucking obvious. You had a clean house. This is the conspiracy theory during me. Step back and do my Alex Jones voice. What we've got here is a situation where special ops, what they're doing is they're victimizing innocent people.
That's fucking good, man.
Well, thank you.
I mean,
did you hear all Jones. Like 100% of the
Maybe
scientists that created Crystal Pepsi died?
Shut the fuck up. Could you imagine if that is true, though? What if we know there's 22 scientists that died. We need to find out how many there were originally.
Make a documentary.
Did you hear about the collider thing that got...
Right, I should go to Snopes for all this. That's what I should do.
The guy that's from the future that was arrested at the collider last week.
What?
Yeah, some guy was arrested at the... What's it called? The Hadrian...
Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah, he was arrested because I don't know what he was doing, but he said he was from the future.
Oh, what a dummy.
Oh, that's funny. Was he just crazy or was he from the future?
I don't know. I just saw a headline.
What a goofy fuck.
That'd be so... That's a funny idea. Show up there in a silver suit.
Yeah. Yeah. You just have to ask him a few more questions and it'll be pretty clear. Oh, you come from the future. Okay.
What am I about to do?
There was one guy who had a website. There was a... Fuck, I forget the scam. Titor someone? I think they were calling themselves something Titor from the future. And they had this whole John Titor, Titor, and some whole thing about how he described how the civilization was going to fall apart and he had come from the future to write. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah.
Just stop.
John Titor?
Yeah. Whatever it is. It's just, you really think that someone came from the fucking future and came back to the past? You really think that it's just, that's what time travel is going to be like?
Yeah, it was Nicolas Cage. You see that shit now? They're saying that Nicolas Cage is a time traveler because there's a photo or something of
no,
Nicolas...
No, John Cusack, bro.
Huh? No, they have Nicolas Cage.
They have John Cusack because he never looks any older. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. No, not even John Cusack. The other dude from The Matrix.
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves, they have him in the time machine. They were saying that he's a vampire because
Really?
He never gets old. Yeah, he's a beautiful man. It's like 50.
Johnny Depp's holding up okay, isn't he?
He's holding up pretty
is
goddamn
that like
good.
They both have kind of Indian blood.
You know what
in them,
that's
right?
from? Fresh pussy. Like vampires. Like vampires. The pussy that's constantly swan diving under their cock every time they poke it out the house for some air.
Put it through their mail slot.
Nicolas Cage might be a vampire. Or so one believer says. Oh, there's a photo from an old-ass photo that looks like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Wow, that's pretty dope.
Oh, I was removed.
He's in... a movie called cool. Vampire's Kiss. That's pretty funny.
He's the Ghost Rider, bro. Did you see Ghost Rider?
Never saw that.
Is that good?
No, it's terrible. But it's good if you're high and you know it's terrible. If you're like ready for a terrible fucking ghost motorcycle superhero movie, yeah.
You have little girls, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch The Tooth Fairy with The Rock?
The Tooth Fairy with The Rock?
Yeah.
No, I missed that one.
That's, I watched that, man.
Why did you watch that?
Because it was like late. I took mushrooms with my friend, and it was just that kind of like after we're done tripping, but we're still like, you know, up and hanging out. And that was coming on HBO, and we're like, fuck it, let's watch it. It's probably good for a few laughs. And we had to rewind it like 40 minutes in because we couldn't follow what was going on. Like, it's baffling. Like, there's so many holes in it. Like, he has this relationship with this woman, but you don't know if they're married, and there's these kids. It's weird. Like, you don't know his relationship to the... It's not his wife and kids, but, like, he's hanging around there, and he never kisses the woman. And then he somehow... Like, it's never really clear on why he turns into a tooth fairy. Like, he says something like, yeah, the tooth fairy's bullshit, kid, like, at one point. And then all of a sudden, he's, like, in this weird... Tooth Fairy Land. And he's got to be the Tooth Fairy. It's kind of like it's...
Oh, it sounds awesome.
And then Billy Crystal makes an appearance, and I totally called it, like, because he, like, goes through Tooth Fairy training, you know, learns how to fly, all fucking bumping into
what?
Shit.
There's a Tooth Fairy training?
Well, yeah, it's like, you know...
Where's Tooth Fairy Land?
In his brain. He probably just got hit on the head or something. This was all in his head.
Is that what, that was really the plot?
Yeah, yeah. And then he turns into the Tooth Fairy, and then, like, we're watching it, and it's like, and I was like, all right, Billy Crystal's old Jew character is going to make an appearance, or Whoopi Goldberg, or, like, somebody like that. And then fucking right there, Billy Crystal comes down this ladder, like, okay, hold your horses, hold your... And he gives him, like, some books on how to be a Tooth Fairy, and... And then he, like, turns into the Tooth Fairy randomly. Like, he'll be at a, you know, out in public, and the wings just spurt out. I feel like I'm losing momentum with trying to sell this shitty
movie.
No, dude,
you've got me in a trance. You got me in a trance. That sounds ridiculous.
It's really absurd.
But when you have kids, you understand ridiculous.
It'll keep
absurd
them quiet,
movies.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, it keeps moving, but there aren't a lot of dots connected. We're like, wait, how do we get from here? It's like, oh... You just needed to get from here to here.
And you just
and
did
so
it.
You just put some thing in the middle. Yeah. Yeah, it's really like...
Now I'm going to see it. And I'm going to be waiting for that. I'm going to be waiting for the hole.
Oh, it's riddled.
Are you doing something?
I'm trying to open another root beer barrel, but I can't figure out how.
Oh, you silly, silly man.
Can't figure it out.
We got to change these microphones. These microphones are too goddamn sensitive. You're doing it down by your dick, and we're hearing it as if you're crackling right
there. Yeah, I know. Sorry.
These are the bags. Yeah, the volcano bags. Yeah, I gave up on that volcano.
Well, most people shouldn't be trying to open a hard candy during a...
What'd you say, Brian?
That kind of mic would be worse, though.
Oh, really? Yeah. Why?
Because these are, you're supposed to talk into it, you know.
Yeah, but these are picking up everything in the room, dude.
That does it times a million.
No. That's less, Brian. Those are more vocal mics. Oh, really? Yeah, it's less. No, we tried it. Remember? It picked up way less ambient noise. Oh. That's our next move as we expand. We're going to move this thing out into, I'm going to get an office space.
At the Ice House, right?
Well, we're going to do that, too. Oh. We're going to do that too.
Probably a desk squad there.
But what we're going to do with the Ice House is we want to set it up so that comics getting off stage and going on stage can have a little different podcast. Not my podcast, but we're going to call it like an evening at the Ice House.
Right.
And have it just whatever comic is there, you know, within reason.
They host it or whatever.
Whoever's there. It's just a whoever's there. Yeah, if Brian's in town, he'll sit on it. Whoever the fuck is in town. And we just keep rotating comics. Like,
I'll one guy
will get off stage. Yeah, it'll be awesome. And it'll be great for all of us. That'll be a lot of fun.
No, whole night with the stuff that you and Al were talking about, it's exciting.
It's great, right?
Yeah.
We want to go there. There's a place, the Ice House in Pasadena. It's this really cool old club. It's been around for like 35 years. And they have this little tiny room.
They just had like the 50th anniversary.
Wow. That's insane.
That's the oldest one, right?
Yeah.
That's insane. 50 years.
The Smothers Brothers and shit perform there.
God,
there are a lot of albums recorded there. Like if you're at a thrift store and go through old comedy albums.
That's amazing.
Pat Paulson.
It's a great, great club. And there's two rooms. There's the big room, which is very small. It's only 185 people. And then there's somewhere around there, right? 185, 190, something like that.
About right.
Perfect size room, by the way. Amazing Rick, setup. Whoa. It's amazing setup. And then there's another room. It's really small. It's only like 85 people.
It's 90.
90 people? Yeah. And we've been doing that. We've been doing some sets there. And Brendan and I and Brian. And,
we have one Friday.
Al Madrigal came down. And Ari went up. And
Sam.
And you guys have one this Friday, too?
Yeah, we have it every Friday.
Yeah, and we're going to start doing that on a regular basis. And as soon as I'm done with this Fear Factor stuff, which should be pretty soon, then we're going to move forward in different dynamic podcast directions. So we'll call it an evening at the Ice House or something along those lines.
Did we ever talk about that? Remember when we brought up how David Letterman's social security number was on the wall?
Yeah.
And we went there like the following day.
Yeah, we don't know whether or not that really is still his social security number, whether they changed it. Like,
well, they put it back up. I was there 2 days ago or whatever.
Did they block it out?
Yeah, they made a copy of it, and it looks like the real one, or they did something to it. It's gone now, though.
Well, we pointed it out to them. We're like, you know, you can see David Letterman's social security number on this contract. And they were like, no way. Like, yeah.
Oh, there's a picture of his contract?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like, looky, we paid him.
Oh, okay, near the bathroom.
Yes,
there are a couple different ones. Okay.
Yeah, and that one actually has a social security number on it.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It steals identity.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Brian already did.
Yeah.
He's trying to like.
Can you do that shit? Viruses and shit. Like I assume anybody who knows anything about computers can like hack into all my shit because I don't know anything. Shit. I'm really naive.
I could do dumb shit, you know, like just tricky shit, but not.
There's kids right now that are growing up. From the time they're little kids, they've been fucking with hacking into the registry and fucking with things and reading on forums and finding out how to do things and working on coding. And there's wizards out there, man.
I know.
They speak a language that we can't even fucking wrap our heads around. There was a documentary on one small area. I think it was of Russia. I forget what Eastern Bloc country it was. But they had this one town where like they have a disproportionate amount of internet scammers and virus makers and people stealing credit card numbers. And they were all just driving Mercedes back and forth.
Really?
Yeah, all these computer people. They just fucking hacked the matrix.
Yeah.
They found like an area like where oil would come up.
Yeah.
They drilled into it and then oil was coming up in their one spot. It's amazing, you know?
Wow. And it's all just identity theft and shit?
Oh, there's a lot of that going on for sure. There's a lot of, cyber crime. I would like to know the statistics of what has happened since the internet existed. Like, is crime up? Is crime down? What kind of crime is more prevalent now that there's, little online things that can rip people off?
Yeah. Probably some, like, I don't know. You're not leaving a paper trail with anything. So if you just go in and move numbers from one place to another.
It just would scare the fucking shit out of me to think that you would have anything important online, you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty, I mean, I guess that's one good thing of not really being a techie. Like, I don't get excited about, I don't have anything. Somebody could steal my laptop tomorrow and they wouldn't really know any more about me than if they stole one of my notebooks.
Yeah. I always look at websites that are up and I say, these are only up because someone didn't target you. That's it.
Right.
It's not like you could do anything about it. What are you going to do about it? You're not going to do shit. It's like it's a wild west out there in some ways. I mean, they can track some people down if they're really sloppy and they find out people that do certain things that shouldn't be doing. But for the most part, it's pretty fucking crazy, you know?
Well, those guys like the Anonymous and Lulzsec.
Yeah.
Those, like, I was pretty amused by what they were doing, but it is pretty scary where it's like, oh, fuck. Those guys, like, if they can fuck with Sony for, like, a week, what could they do to me?
They're putting some of those dudes in jail, though.
It's like, well, that's the other thing. You're going to get fucking, you don't get away with that kind of shit.
This is going to be like a
government agencies.
And, yeah. It's going to be a badass documentary that we'll be able to watch in, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever watched a documentary on the Weather Underground?
Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
Radical hippie movement in the 60s, wanted to get rid of the government. It's a fascinating fucking documentary. That's what this is going to be like.
Yeah.
You know? A decade from now, when we're even more oppressed, we'll look back at the time that the internet, almost rose colonies. Against before they instituted the censorship on the internet.
Yeah.
That would really lock everything down. That would either lock everything down or cause a civil war. That would be the final push. If the government regulated the internet the way the FCC regulates television, or the way, you know, they regulate radio or anything, if they like told you what you could and couldn't put out there, woo. Because that's where it all got out of hand. Everything was doing great until the 80s and the 90s came along, and all of a sudden people were getting their information from different places.
Yeah.
They were getting it from a fucking computer.
But with that WikiLeaks guy, I mean, aren't they essentially like, it's like, you can't really put whatever you want out there.
Well, they locked that guy up, and they gave that guy some sort of a house arrest deal where he had to show up at the police station and check himself in every day. And from what I understand, he's trying to fight being extradited.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to have to leave the country. I have no idea what the fuck happened, but I do think that I don't believe that this would happen this way if he wasn't that guy. I think it seems pretty obvious that someone's targeting him.
It doesn't
seem kosher to me. You know, that this, I mean, I don't believe she's even saying it was really rape. It was by some really broad definition of rape, like regret afterwards or something, like the feeling of being deceived or something along those lines.
Yeah. She changed her mind, when he was finishing up or whatever.
Something along those lines, right? And he was already inside of her and he didn't want to stop.
But he was already, like, on the run. Like, he was already wanted, and, you know, when all that happened, I thought.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just fascinating how you know, you're not allowed to release information unless you're the New York Times or CNN or an established news organization / corporation that we can trust. You're not allowed to just release that. So because like the real question would come up, well, what would the New York Times do if it was given that information? If it was given all the WikiLeaks documents, if someone came along and said, listen, here's a gigantic file, you're going to fucking shit your pants. This is all a bunch of shit that I took from, you know, U.S. data banks, and it's gonna blow the hole on this whole Iraq war thing, and there's a lot of things in it that's going to really disturb the shit out of people when they find out about real relationships between, you know, different foreign countries and different things that we're doing in all sorts of different parts of the world. What do you think would happen?
I don't think that would get released through a real mainstream. Do you think the
New York Times would go, get the fuck out of here, we're not releasing this?
They'd probably
give it back to the government?
I think so.
I think, yeah, they
because
would.
Because it wasn't their property? Is that a law?
I
think that they're dealing with like a business, so that somebody they don't want to fuck up.
Well, would it be stolen information? So there it would be illegal contraband or something along those lines because probably, it's top secret?
I think the government would just come and confiscate it. Somebody would call somebody and the government would be like, you have what? We're sending someone right down.
Yeah.
And then just like...
Is that ever going to change? Is that ever going to get to the point where that doesn't happen anymore? Is that like a remnant of the old days? That's like slowly starting to work its way out to the point where, you know, police aren't going to have like that kind of absolute power. Is that possible?
I don't think so.
Really?
No.
It's going to get worse, right? Does it get worse? Well, it's like as that Orwell quote increases?
Of like the future, you know, if you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot standing on somebody's neck forever. Something like that.
Whoa, Orwell was a drag.
Yeah, imagine getting
high with Orwell. Like, dude, you are fucking killing me with this boot neck thing. Why don't you just go to a massage parlor and get jerked off? You know, just a wonderful feeling of warm oil on your balls and just, just sweet release.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about boots and necks.
Orwell needed.
It's not all boots and necks, you fucking dramatic cocksucker.
Well, I mean, he wrote Animal Farm in 1984.
Oh, he was brilliant.
In like the 40s.
When I say dramatic cocksucker, I mean it with all due respect. He actually predicted a lot of shit that went down that, you know, it was essentially science fiction at the time, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing, you know?
Amazing. The internet, essentially, I mean, you could argue that, you know, that screen that everybody had in their apartments in 1984.
Was 1984 supposed to be the year where this story took place? Is that what the premise is?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing when you look back, like, on Space 1999? They thought that by 1999, we'd be, like, fucking living on other planets.
Oh, in 2010.
Yeah. You know, 2010 was the year they made contact, right?
And 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
That's like
2010. They thought this is ridiculously far in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
This is so far in the future that we're never going to have to worry about that. We'll just make our money now, and we'll probably be right when 2001 rolls along. Oh, nothing.
Yeah.
No fucking space travel at all.
I don't know, though, man. Like, I was at...
That's the one area, though, where we grossly overestimated how far we would advance. Space travel.
Well, there's unmanned space shit out there.
And for sure.
And there's the space station with people on it right now.
Yeah. But Space 1999.
Yeah.
I mean, they were living on fucking. They were shooting lasers at people.
They were like Jetsons cars. And
I mean, when Space 1999, like, didn't they have battles with like other like fucking aliens and shit? I'm pretty sure they did.
Probably. Yeah,
I'm pretty
sure
they did.
Oh, yeah. No, that was the future.
That's a Prince song, bitch. What's a ridiculous Space 1999?
Those smart cars are pretty futuristic looking.
Well, you know, Obama just passed some new legislation saying that by, I think it's 2025, that the average miles per gallon of a car has to be some insane number. It's like 50-plus miles per gallon. And that's what's going to be the standard average per corporation. Yeah. Like, you could have one stupid car. Like, you can have one Mustang, you know, GT with a fucking giant engine that eats gas.
Yeah.
As long as you had a slew of electric cars that got like 90 miles to the gallon, sort of balanced
that's
it out.
That's a good idea.
For the Mustang. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. But
did you ever see that documentary, Who Killed the Electric Car?
Yes, I did.
Oh, that was pretty interesting.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, they had a pretty decent electric car, it seemed, back in like 86.
Yeah.
And then they just took them all and destroyed them. That's fishy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, conspiracies are real, man. You know, Enron, the smartest men in the room. Do you ever watch that documentary? Conspiracies are fucking real. Okay, yeah, they definitely went to war, because I'm looking on Space 1999 in Wikipedia.
Was that a show?
Someone was shooting lasers at them.
Yeah,
Space 1999. Oh. You didn't know that was a show?
I thought maybe it was like...
Oh, when I was saying that, it was a show that I used to watch when I was a kid.
Oh, no, I thought it was kind of a
lost
more...
on that. I was
Just
like the idea of
Future. They were so optimistic. This is how crazy they were. Because we had just gone to the moon, you know, supposedly. And it's 1975, so did they just stop the Apollo program in 72?
Mm-hmm.
So in 1999, they thought we would be fucking going to war. But there was only 20 years.
Yeah.
They were only guessing 24 years in the future.
Yeah.
In 24 years, they thought, well, dude... We finally landed on the moon. Remember when we invented cars? Now look what we drive.
Yeah.
They finally landed on the moon? Listen, dude, by the time 1999 rolls around, we're going to be going to battle in space.
So these
fucking people were living in uniforms. They had outfits and shit. Like, that was the other hallmark of the future. Everybody wore the same clothes. That's how you knew it was the future.
Yeah.
You know, future or aliens. You know, they're all wearing the same clothes.
Yeah. Well, I mean... Walmart, Target.
That is a fascinating thing.
They're
just
not all matching silver jumpsuits. Most people are getting their clothes from the same four places, probably. Old Navy.
It's amazing that they missed so badly. 1999, they were so optimistic. You know, 2001, so optimistic.
Yeah.
A lot of things got it right, though. Like that old ride at Walt Disney World, you know, in the future, where it was like this thing where you just sat there and watched like what the future is supposed to be like. If you look at it now, it's pretty crazy how similar it is.
Do you remember Alien? Remember the Nostromo when they're in their ship and he's working on the computer? It looks so bad.
Oh, that's funny. I love that when they...
Shit computer you have. Like, what is this piece of shit with its green fucking letters? Yeah. It's green, you know, lit up letters.
Oh, yeah.
It looks so stupid.
And the printer paper still has the holes on the side of it. Pull that all over this. This is the year 3000.
Kirk out. He didn't even have a cell phone, right? He had walkie-talkies. But the Nostromo, the fucking computer, man, they missed so badly.
Hmm.
But there's like, now we're at a point where we can imitate shit.
They can
shit.
Predict things a little. Like, I think, you know, it seems like
Tom Cruise, what was that movie? Minority Report. Yeah, that shit is sort of coming
I've seen
line.
That shit in other movies, too, so maybe that's the way things are headed.
When I swipe my iPhone, when I'm going through, like, contacts, or when I'm going through email, I think of it that way. Yeah. I'm like, this is amazing.
These things
are
amazing.
Sliding this thing back and forth with my fingers, and then iPads, the same thing. I read books on the iPad, and when you turn the page, just slowly slide your finger and it slowly curls the page over and then rolls to the next page. Like,
seen it.
Whoa, this is some freaky fucking futuristic shit. We're getting it right now.
Like, I went to a concert a couple weeks ago, and I went to smoke a cigarette and was like looking at the whole crowd in the Hollywood Bowl, and you just see all these little iPhones, light up things. Yeah, and it's like, that's kind of crazy, man. Like, and it happened so quickly. Like, really, 10 years ago, you didn't see.
I was typing an email today, and I was on the iPhone, and I was just thinking about how crazy it is that you can just touch these little spots.
I think about that a lot.
And it knows pretty much what letter you're trying to say, and then you can just swipe your finger, and it spins through all your pictures and spins through all your music. Like, this is nuts, man. This is so specific, too. It's so, like, accurate.
Joe, you gotta try out this thing called Spotify. It's kind of like Rhapsody. It's like all you can eat. Any kind of music, you know, for $10, you get, you know, all the music you want, pretty much thing.
So for $10, one-time fee?
No, every month, $10 a month.
$10 a month for music?
Yeah, but you sit there, and you just have access to pretty much any song
ever.
Lost
his mind.
But it is, I don't really understand the service, but yeah, you can, like, for $10 a month, you could put in, like, Rolling Stones, and every Rolling Stones song will come up, and you can download them.
But what's cool, whoever has it connected to their Facebook, like a lot of your friends, like Duncan is a perfect example. He's you really can see his whole entire music, like what he likes, what he listens to. So you can just, like, if you're looking for new music, you just go see what Joey Diaz is looking at. Yeah. And you just, like, look at all his music. It's pretty cool. I would try it out.
But you can download their music, too.
And you can also download it on your phone.
You'd be like, Duncan has that album. I want
it. You can put it on an iPhone. You can put it on an iPod. And you keep it.
Well, the thing is, the Spotify, it's like your iTunes, but it's held at some server.
Yeah, but I think there's a way to also download the tracks. So, like, if you have offline mode.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if you just pick what things you want, it will download the tracks onto your iPhone.
That's annoying.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I would want it on my iPod. I want it on my hard drive. I want a physical.
I think you can do that.
Really?
Yeah.
I think so.
As long as you can do that.
Yeah, you can put it on your computer, your iPad, your phone.
But it doesn't have to be connected to the internet to use it.
No, you could download it. You have to be connected to the internet at some point. You know what I mean?
To get it.
Yeah, to get it.
To get the music.
Right, right.
And do you just, like, refresh and it just...
It just saves it onto your device.
Oh, okay. So it is just like downloading it.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
I don't know.
I thought you were saying
you
can keep it in the cloud.
You can't, like, burn it to a CD. And, like, I think it might have some kind of... time trap, like it
only,
like,
lasts a certain amount of time.
Yeah, like it has.
Really? See,
I don't know what I'm talking about. I think you just made that up, sure. Brian.
No, I think that's how it works, though. I think it has to check for subscription once in a while or something.
Oh, that's annoying.
But
so as long as your subscription's up,
but
it's
you know
good,
what's good?
You can keep
in your
music.
Car. You know what's good? It's in your car. You're driving around going.
That's all annoying, man. When you got it, right? I keep an iPhone or an iPod always charged up. I always listen in my car. I hardly ever listen to the radio anymore. I just listen to my iPod.
Yeah.
You know, it connects to my car. It's fucking, it's amazing. You can just choose whatever music. But all I have to do is just, like, sync it back and forth between my computers. I don't want to go online and just fucking register and pay $10 a month. I buy the CD on iTunes. I buy the MP3s, and that's good for me. Yeah. I don't want any of that craziness.
I have satellite in my car, and I like it because I've been turned on to a lot of new music that I wouldn't have heard. There's one station in particular. Like, I like that indie kind of rock shit. I
like
rap,
what kind of
too.
Rock shit?
Like, indie. Like, I like 90s indie rock a lot. And, like, you know, like Pavement, shit like that.
Like, what do they say? Sing me a song.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like Dinosaur Jr., you familiar with any of that?
I was in a radio station once, WAAF in Boston, and one of the dudes from Dinosaur Jr., what is it, Maskus? What is his
name? Jay Maskus,
sang a song.
Yeah.
Like right there. And it was a real creepy, like acoustic song.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, what a weird dude this guy is. I bet this guy's some fucking crazy, creepy, weird genius dude.
They are. I mean, that's a certain genre. Nirvana came out of that too. You know? Yeah. It's like the Melvins and fucking.
But is Nirvana, like, if you talk about like that kind of music you want, that you like, if you say Nirvana, do they think, oh, you're all mainstream?
No, because I mean, Nirvana like naturally happened. That came from like, they wanted to be as big as Sonic Youth or Dinosaur Jr. And just, they just wrote songs way too good and fucking just got huge.
They reinvented things.
They changed the face of everything.
They fucked hair bands sideways.
And Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer. Those guys were popular.
Pounded on. Boom.
Yeah.
Like, where'd this come from? There's all this truth and pain and reality. Dude screaming, rape me. Rape me again.
It's a great song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Rape Me is a great fucking song, and it played on the radio. You know, just wrap your head around that. Imagine trying to put that out today. Rape Me, a song called Rape Me. People would freak the fuck out. They wouldn't want to play that on the radio. Too many people would be complaining.
Yeah.
This guy went on stage in the UFC this weekend. There was a controversy. These two fighters went out to controversial songs, and one of them was he went out to Smack My Bitch Up.
Okay.
And so this writer was complaining.
Are you serious?
That was, yes. They wrote an article on Yahoo about how it was insensitive to have that song, and that song promotes violence against women and jazz, that people might find it offensive. And then the other song they complained about was the Scorpions' Rock You Like a Hurricane. Because obviously we're in New Orleans, and New Orleans had been hit by a hurricane. But meanwhile,
but you're watching two guys beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, and when that song came on, I don't think people thought that. I didn't even associate it with that connection until I read the article.
Some cunty little writer fucking wanted to cause a stir.
Do you know how funny it is that you just said that? Because I got in trouble for calling this very writer cunty.
Really?
Yeah. Well. And people are like, you shouldn't use that word.
Sounds like cunty behavior.
I did not inform you of this beforehand. We had no discussion. There was no coercion on your part.
Nope.
Ladies and gentlemen, nature finds its fucking course. So the other one was the Scorpions, Rock You Like a Hurricane. When I heard that song, I didn't think, oh, no, he didn't. A hurricane hit here and devastated the population.
I thought,
it was a fucking jam.
Yeah.
Here I am.
That's a good thing to listen to before you're going to go get in a fist fight.
Yeah, it's a fucking good song, man. You can't not have that good song anymore. It's not responsible for the hurricane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, if he played like Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves, then that would be like, wait, why is he fucking playing this? This doesn't go along with the sport.
I wonder if he'd be allowed to do that. I wonder if Dana White would approve that. Because he approves every song. By the way, Smack My Bitch, I was won like all these awards. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's in Charlie's Angels. Smack My Bitch Up is in Charlie's Angels.
How does that go?
So it's like you're like complaining, smack my bitch up, bow, 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 bow. It's like this crazy like techno. It's a really famous song. You never heard it before?
I probably have. The name's just not ringing a bell. Is it like the Chemical Brothers? It is the Chemical Brothers? Oh, then I am familiar with it. Yeah. I have like all their stuff. I guess
it's hilarious though that someone would complain about that. Like that seems like kind of silly. You know?
Yeah, of course.
Complaining about anything silly. Are we nerfing the fucking world? What is going on, Brendan Walsh? Now, I ask you this because you're a comic and you're also a fucking, you go deep. You push buttons. You know, you talk about crazy shit on stage. It's fun. It's my kind of comedy.
Good.
You know, when I saw you the other night at the Ice House, I was like, thank God there's still guys doing that.
Oh, well, thanks, you know? Joe. Yeah, that's flattering, man.
It's true. You
it's been really dirty. The new stuff's kind of getting
love
pretty
it.
Dirty.
Keep going. Go deeper. We'll I was see. There. Why? I mean, I'm a huge fan of stand-up comedy still, but it's not enough people are doing crazy shit. not enough people are going to the deep end of the pool.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
This not enough people are just making fucked up things really funny.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a few, but you were nailing a bunch of, I don't want to do any of your material, but you were nailing a bunch of different subjects left and right. I was like, this is really funny stuff, man. I enjoyed it.
That's awesome, you know? Dude.
Does comedy supposed to be kind of fucked up, man? The best stuff when you've got a couple of drinks in you. The best stuff is like, you know, like Nick DiPaolo is one of my all-time favorite guys to watch when I got a little buzz on.
Oh yeah,
because he would have fake mean shit. I mean, it was mean. It was, but he's not a mean guy. He's a nice guy. He's a great guy. Yeah. He's just fucking. That's the style of comedy.
Yeah,
and he's going after it. It's especially when you got a buzz on. It's a fucking great art form.
Yeah.
And by people complaining about a dude coming out to rock you like a hurricane, and by people trying to take some of the flavor out of the world, tone things down, they're ruining everything that's cool about life.
Yeah. They're the just subtlety. A bunch of fucking unhappy pricks.
Yeah, knowing what's right and what's wrong, knowing when to let things go and when to put. There's a big fucking. It shows a big.
It's like prioritize
example of
shit.
Your character. Yeah,
if you're gonna sit down and fucking like, you know, police Wikipedia on your fucking own time just because somebody adds Jerry Seinfeld started directing adult films after whatever. You know, like if you're somebody who's, you know, policing Craigslist for. Like people trying to be funny or gross on it, like the fuck's wrong with you, man? Like the prior, like there's a million other things you could be doing right now.
Yeah, and that looking needs to be Yelp illuminated, articles. Right? It needs to be pointed at. Like, why are you doing this?
Well, because like usually what they're doing. I mean, I'm just speaking from experience of like I had a fake Yelp account where I would just complain about businesses.
Oh no!
Like I took businesses that had like there was a car wash called the Handy J. And I wrote the review like I was expecting a hand job at the end of the car wash, and it's blatant false advertising. And there's a restaurant called The Happy Ending on Sunset. Yeah. So either way, it was just all written by this naive guy who was in a shitty marriage and he was just looking for a hand job. And none of these places gave him hand jobs. And his pink taco place in Arizona, like some guy beats the shit out of him because he tries to get his daughter to fuck him. I mean, it was just a silly thing I was doing. But it got taken down. Because I guess somebody, you know, complained or was monitoring Yelp, and I lost all of my fucking.
You didn't write them down anywhere?
Again, no. I was like, that's before I even knew that you could do a screen grab. Like, I think.
Well, wasn't there a thing that you could do on the internet, Brian, where you could go back in time?
Like machine.
Yeah, not just that.
Oh, you could go and
yeah.
Yeah, but that probably is not on there. I don't know.
This was a couple of years ago.
How does that work?
What it does is it's just a program, you know, like a spider or a bot that takes screenshots and kind of saves websites, kind of archives websites called the Internet Archive. And it
where is this all stored at?
I don't know. I think it's connected with some museum or something like that, or some kind of weird like thing, database. But it works like 70% of the time. Like you can go to your old website from like 91, you know.
Well, I didn't have a website in 91
or 92 or whatever.
I think it was 98 actually.
Or 98, and you could see it. And you know, some things will work, some photos will work, some things won't work. You know,
that's creepy. That's wild. Yeah,
is weird.
My Pepsi Spice project's on there somewhere.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Brian did a thing where he pretended that he was going to eat nothing but Pepsi Spice for like months, and he got PepsiSpice.com. It was a new type of Pepsi that they had. And he got PepsiSpice.com. He registered it because they were fucking slow on the take and they didn't realize the power of the internet.
Yeah.
So then he writes this blog detailing these horrific fucking physical ailments that are occurring to him.
Shitting blood
from
out.
Eating nothing but Pepsi Spice from us.
What was it? Spicy Pepsi?
Pepsi Spice.
It was like ginger.
I don't remember that
Pepsi.
Shit at all.
It was gross.
It was horrible.
It was so awful. It was like Thanksgiving.
Do you remember New Coke? They tried to fuck.
I remember
with
Coke. New
Coke.
Yeah.
It was like
Coke
what?
Classic.
It was like, what are you doing? And then they don't do that anymore, right? Now it's just Coke Classic.
They got rid of New Coke.
Yeah, New Coke just was. It was a slow introduction. You know, what it was like the metric system. They try to shove it out.
Like, it tastes like Pepsi.
And then they pulled it back. They're all right, we give up.
New Coke just tasted like Pepsi.
Do you think there's a different type of person who drinks Coke rather than Pepsi?
Fuck yeah, man. I hate Pepsi. Like, drinking Pepsi is...
It's all kind of the same, isn't it?
I like Diet Pepsi better than Diet Coke.
Do you think,
Coke Zero rules
do old. Dumber people like Pepsi or smarter?
Dumber.
Those smart people are drinking soda on a regular basis.
Really? I bet they are. Smart people. Yeah, I know probably. Smart people that smoke cigarettes.
Yeah,
we had this guy, and this Daniel Pinchbeck, this brilliant author, who told me he just quit smoking cigarettes. I was like, "What the fuck? You what? What? You just quit too, right?
It's tough,
you
man.
Quit recently? When did you quit?
I'm like on my third day, so
that's it.
Not even. Wow. I quit for a year, a couple years ago, and I smoked a joint with my friend rolled a joint with tobacco in it.
Oh, no.
And it fucking, it's crazy. Once you have that little taste, I was like, hey, roll me a cigarette. Like a couple days later, I was staying with him in upstate New York after Montreal. And so I was kind of on vacation in that vacation mode and was like, I'll have a couple smokes until when I get back to LA, I'll stop. And went down to the city for a week and bummed a couple cigarettes, but cigarettes are like $15 a pack there. So I was like, I'm just going to buy a pack and, you know, give them to people and I'll smoke. And either way, it just snowballed into.
Is that the only physical addiction you've ever had?
Cock.
Brian.
Yeah, man, that's rude. That's rude behavior so that you're fucking little co-host is exhibiting. You know, this is going out on the
internet. Other people are going to hear this.
That's
dude.
Slander or libel, slanderous. Whatever it is.
Why don't you put a cock in your mouth and cry?
Okay, listen, you took it too far. Back up.
No, I've never had any real, like, you know, I like to drink and stuff.
But you've never had, like, a physical craving like that before where you got attached to it?
Well, cigarettes or alcohol? Cigarettes.
I mean, cigarettes is the only one like that. I mean, how about is alcohol? Have you ever gotten to a I need a drink every day stage?
No.
So it's cigarettes. What I was trying to get at was like cigarettes are
inordinately
tough, and much stronger. They have a much stronger pull than a lot of the other things that get people addicted.
Well, because you don't get anything out of cigarettes too. Like cigarettes, if they got you high or drunk, like
they relax though.
Dude, you get pissed off. But it's all just
because you're poisoned, like.
Do you get pissed off at those people that fucking tell you they can smoke and they don't ever get hooked? Because there's a lot of people that do that.
They're called liars. I can do
whatever I want.
No, they're not. Really? I think there are different kinds of, like, I do lean more towards like an addictive type. Like, you know, like if there's something that's kind of fun, my impulse is to overdo it. Well, I mean, I have self-control and other things.
That's why you're funny. Almost all comics have that. Every comic that I know that's really funny addicts is impulsive. Yeah. Like, look at Kreischer, he's really impulsive. Brian Callen, really impulsive. Joey's impulsive as fuck, you know?
I'm glad that they're still improving the technology of a cigarette, though. Like, they have Camel Crushes now.
So bad.
Which are so awesome. Like, you're smoking a cigarette, and you're like, you know what? I'm bored with this cigarette. Then you just crush the filter, and it releases more chemicals into the filter. Then it tastes like mint.
So now I'm menthol cigarette.
Then it's a menthol cigarette.
What?
But it's a little chemical ball you're
crushing. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Wait a minute. So you can change your experience?
Yeah.
You go from a regular cigarette, or at any time back and forth?
Yeah. No, just once you go menthol, you can't
or
if go back.
Right. Yeah. Or you did
but the whole pack six, has great. This available to it.
The whole pack, they have little spearmint balls. And
your cancer's going to get cancer. It's going to find out that gives cancer.
Yeah, double cancer.
Those mint balls give your cancer new cancer. So bad, man.
But once you get out of the woods, when I quit a couple years ago, I mean, I went like a year, and it's been a year now that I've been smoking again.
Right.
Once you get out, or at least once I got out of the woods, like after a couple weeks, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm fine. Too. I don't need this. But then,
really?
Yeah, I really didn't. I was pretty cocky about it. I was like, I'm never going to stick another one of those things in my mouth.
Wow.
And I would hang out at bars. I'd go out with my friends when they went to smoke. I was like, I'm done. I don't smoke. I read this book that helped a lot. I mean, granted, I'm smoking again, but because, well, but I mean. Under my circumstances, though, I kind of didn't really do it by choice. Like, I smoked this joint that had tobacco in it. I knew I tasted it right away, but I was like, I can fuck it. I'm on vape. This is like, it's been 11 months since I had a cigarette. I can have a puff.
Tobacco demon talking to you.
It's fucked up, dude.
Is that what it is? The nicotine demon?
Well, that's the way he describes it in the book is like, you're just feeding this little monster that needs to be fed over, like, it's a very short.
I even heard that like after 6 months, like you get to like it starts burning fat that has nicotine still in it, and so you start getting cravings again after like a certain period. I don't know if this is bullshit.
Someone said that too, and I thought that sounded silly.
Seems kind of silly.
It might be though. I mean, I know marijuana stays in your system. I think if you're like really fat and you get super high, weed can stay in your system for weeks.
Yeah,
you know, I think it. It stays in your fat cells,
right?
Yeah. So if that, I mean, if it's there. Maybe, I mean, it's obviously the grip of that stuff is way stronger than the. I mean, there's people that say they get addicted to marijuana, but there's nothing like the feeling that I don't think that they get with cigarettes. They don't need to smoke it all day like that.
No, it's
that,
more
right?
of a habitual. I think marijuana, it's you get hooked on the ritual of it. I also huff this shit, too.
Yeah. I love that shit.
I'm willing to believe that everybody has a different biochemistry and some people can get physically addicted to almost anything. I think people get physically addicted to sugar. You know, some people that like have crazy sugar fixations where it's an addiction.
Of course, dude.
You know, so they could get addicted to marijuana, but nothing like the addiction to cigarettes. That is one of the weirdest ones, man. It's like,
bitch.
when you see people like when Brian started smoking cigarettes again, it's almost like I have to accept that he got bit by a vampire. It's like, yeah. Oh, you got bit
all
by a vampire.
All this talk of cigarettes makes me want to have a cigarette.
Dude.
Are you ever going to quit or are you just going to run away? I might bum one off you. Oh, really? You ready to give in?
Today's been rough. Yeah, why has it been rough? No, I should. I've just been, you know, I keep fucking wanting one, but it's like, yeah, it's that.
What is it? Explain it to me. What is it? What's the pull? As a person who's never.
It's. I've
had a cigarette or two in the day, but I've never got it.
Yeah, it's just, it sounds like a really good idea. Like, I just want to kind of fucking smoke a cigarette. And wow. There is a little bit of a little.
You know what it's like? When you go and you're hungry as fuck and you go to the movie theater and you smell that popcorn. Oh, and you're like, fuck, I need that popcorn.
No, it can't be. It's got to be way crazier than that because I could pass on the popcorn.
No, because you can sit there and not get popcorn, but if you sit there and keep on smelling it over and over again, it'll drive you crazy.
Don't think of popcorn specifically. Think of like you're really hungry and you smell like the fucking best food.
How about this? We're at Fogo de Chao and the guy keeps coming back with the meat and I have my thing flipped over to red.
Yeah.
Is it that good?
It's more than that. It's like when you smell like somebody cooking cookies or brownies in your house and you're like, oh, I need that fucking cookie now. It's like that.
That's what the yearning's kind of like. Like, it's something where it's like,
and when you get it, when you finally give in to the beast and you light that bitch up and you suck it in, what is that like?
That completely goes away, that stress.
Yeah, it goes away but then I guess, you know, mine's immediately going to be followed by guilt.
Yeah, but you don't think, okay, here I am, I'm poisoning my body.
Dude, oh, God, the thoughts that fucking go through my head. That's, it's so dumb.
I think about it, like, I don't think about it when I'm doing it. Like, I think about it the next morning when I'm just,
you know,
like,
what you should do, dude? You should start smoking a pipe.
Nah.
Smells better. You get your tobacco. I'm just going to quit. Maybe you could smoke a pipe and be okay.
You just got to stop doing it.
You guys are both junkies. You guys can't help it.
It's an addiction, man. But, you know, this is like, you know, yeah, it's my third day, so it's pretty...
It's also good for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
No, you see, I'm not a big daytime smoker.
Oh, really?
I'm at night. Like, I don't...
I use it for lunch.
I don't smoke during the day. If
I'm with... You use it for lunch so you don't eat?
Yeah. Like, if I'm really hungry and I'm just too busy, I'll smoke a cigarette and then it kills it for another 30 minutes.
Oh, my God. That's so gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be terrible for you.
But I do, if I'm around people, like I was staying with a buddy of mine in Austin, and he wakes up in the morning, has a cup of coffee and a cigarette, and I would do that.
Oh, God,
with him.
That's the best combo.
Is it?
Ever.
Well, it's just, it's ever. More like, oh, again, like when in Rome, like, okay, right. But I wouldn't do that on my own.
Does that give you a crazy head rush? What does that do for you?
You know, I'm not crazy about that. That combo first thing in the morning. No, it makes my stomach feel shitty. I know, but
swear by it. Even before they have food.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people are...
Really?
Yeah.
What's the big deal?
I don't know. It just goes together perfect. It's the taste of the coffee and the taste of
the... Do you ever figure shit out from that combination? Is that a combination where you start your day out with a new perspective?
Kind of. You get a little boost from the cigarette, a little boost from the coffee at the same time. It's kind of like a kickstart.
It's amazing, amazing.
Makes you have to shit.
Nobody ever talks about getting rid of cigarettes. They're like little evil demons that have...
They should be fucking...
Collected themselves.
Illegal.
It's really? Amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing when you think about all the shit that is illegal. You think of the actual numbers that they're doing.
I was talking to Henry Phillips about, and I don't know if you guys know Henry, but...
The guy who played guitar on Stanhope's.
Yeah. And we were just like, you know, kind of drunk talking on the phone one night, and we were both talking about how, like, God, what are we still smoking for? You know, because he smokes cigarettes too. And he was saying, like, yeah, if like an alien... life form was like looking down on us and they'd be like, wait, so this fucking thing kills, you know, like a million people a year and it's not illegal? Like, why don't they just make it illegal? And it's like, well, because these five guys are getting really rich off of it. And he's like, and the aliens would be like, well, why not just kill those five guys and save like the millions and just make it like, it seems like a no-brainer. But it's like, yeah, that's just the way everything's fucked up. It's like, yeah, why not just kill the five guys who are fucking everything up for everyone?
Well, there's two arguments. There's one, the freedom of, the freedom argument where you're free to do whatever you want to do, even if it's ridiculous.
Well, you can't do heroin if you want to.
But why can't you?
Because it's illegal.
Right. But but should we allow more things to be legal? That's the other question. It's like we have enough problems of our own.
Make cigarettes illegal.
I'm one of the
it would be hard because a lot of people say they want to be able to have a fucking cigarette.
I know, but I think
a lot of people want to fuck 10-year-olds too.
Right.
Yeah, but that's different.
I'm one of the smokers that cigarettes would vote for.
If they legalized fucking 10-year-olds, that might be way more addictive than cigarettes. I've never done it.
The cigarette is connecting to you. You fucking 10-year-olds is you interfering with other people's lives. You're making your own personal choice. You have your own personal freedom to go and addict to this.
I'm obviously being...
I know, of course. Yeah. But, I mean, it's a weird thing that you want to say that it is illegal. Because I think you should be able to do whatever the fuck you want. I think if you want to smoke cigarettes and you know they're addicted... You know, I think we should look down horribly on the people who sell them, you know, just like any person selling any fucking deadly poison. Drug.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially things that just, what are those 599 fucking ingredients that they've added to cigarettes to make them more addictive? Like, what a crazy combo they've put together.
Well, I've smoked those American Spirits almost my whole career.
And do they have the same?
Their whole thing is it's 100% additive free tobacco.
It's like Whole Foods cigarettes.
Is it less addictive?
Nicotine's pretty addictive.
Yeah.
So nicotine on itself is addictive enough, and all the 599 other shit other is like just enhanced
to make it. It's like what they do to food at McDonald's. Like it's designed
to have
to burn a certain way for the ash to be shaped a certain way.
Do you notice the difference between the cigarette experience from like the natural ones and the ones like the cool lights or something?
Yeah.
Like
that? I do.
Yeah. What do you notice? What's the difference?
What do you smoke like Camels?
I smoke Camel lights, but
when I
that's like a really strong one, isn't it? Camel's really strong.
American Spirits actually to me feel like they do more damage just because it's a thicker.
They
smoke.
Last longer.
Yeah, and they last longer. Like I'll smoke like American Spirits. The next day, I'm coughing up black shit. Like I feel like
you don't smoke as many of them. Yeah. I mean, you can't smoke as many. Right. Like I always find
it's so crazy. It's so ridiculous. Like how do you take your poison? You got to be careful with the natural poison. Natural poison's hard to swallow.
Well, I don't think it's hard to swallow. I just don't think you want it as frequently. Like the other ones burn faster and
they're like diet pop. Almost.
You can just keep
you can
them
suck down two Camels for like one.
Camels used to have no filter. They have filters.
They still
now.
Have.
No,
those.
They all cigarettes have like no filter and filter. Like Lucky Strikes, you know, it come. Where
Marlboro
it's like
doesn't.
No
make, well, they have some
Marlboro. Yeah,
they have non-filtered Marlboros.
They used to. I don't know if they still do.
Oh, they might. I don't know.
They have the Camel non-filters also.
No, I know that. Yeah, and Lucky Strikes.
What is that all about? What's the non-filter about?
That's like some stupid dude who's people. A fucking rockabilly shithead who's just going to the nth degree to fucking maintain
the
style.
Shithead, I love it.
Why else are you smoking Lucky Strikes? Except for the package looks cool and goes good with your fucking bowling shirt with flames on it. Your fucking greased back hair.
Your fucking tattoo of a howling cartoon dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to give any more descriptions because I don't want to get punched in the face by one of those guys when I'm in Austin.
And there's those girls that have that very specific look, too. Those girls.
But burlesque. Like you were talking about that. That's crazy in Austin. Like, it's just like, you know.
Yeah, they all dress like they're
Betty
from the
Page
40s
chicks.
Or some shit. Yeah.
The same as roller derby girls.
Yeah.
They're all cut from the same cloth.
What the fuck is this longing for the nostalgic past that everybody has?
I don't know. I have a joke about it.
What is it?
Where I say I love roller derby. I've never seen it, but I like that it exists because it cuts down on all the crappy girl bands that would be around otherwise. Because it's just like a bunch of people who need some attention. It's like, yeah, don't start a band, dude. Yeah, do that. Fucking do burlesque or...
Oh, that's funny.
Or roller derby.
I have a friend from the message board that's in a roller derby thing. Vicky from the message board.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just a joke, Vicky.
She's in Vancouver. She's a nice girl. But she gave me a roller derby girl t-shirt. I wear it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a cool
thing.
Like
a roller derby girl t-shirt.
Yeah.
This fucking podcast is over. This thing's gone forever.
Man,
we rambled through a good part of it where I didn't know what the fuck we were talking about.
That beginning part, I was not awake.
We're too tired, you know. That's the problem with doing a late night one. I work all day doing Fear Factor. I'm out in the fucking hot sun all day. That shit cooks your brain. You can drink a lot of water and rehydrating helps, but it makes you really stupid at the end of the day. You just get really tired.
How many can you see how many people started listening and stopped?
It was 1,276. Not bad
for
the end. Been on forever.
It's 2.5 hours, right?
It's 11 p.m. on the East Coast, man.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I have shit to do. Fuck. Or on the West Coast, rather. It's 11 p.m.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Brendan, for coming by. That
Thanks
was awesome.
Thanks for asking me.
And please follow him on Twitter. It's B-R-E-N-D-O-N Walsh.
Can I plug a date?
Walsh. Hell yeah, son.
B-R-E-N-D-O-N Walsh, yeah, on Twitter. And I'll be in Bloomington, Indiana at the Comedy Attic September 29th through October 1st.
Tweet that and I'll retweet it. And if you've never seen him, go fucking see him.
Yeah, come.
Him.
It'll He's be fun. That's hilarious. A great place.
You're one of those guys that right now in my book of like funny guys to watch, you're one of those that hasn't been nationally recognized yet, but it's going to happen quick.
Cool, man.
I really believe that. You're Thanks. Fucking hilarious, dude. The other night at the Ice House, you had
those
me
shows were fun. Well,
dying.
You have a good
that
crowd.
It was really
man.
Fun. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah,
we're really lucky. And most of it is these fucking freaks that are listening right now.
And we'll be in Houston.
You dirty freaks. Yeah, we're going to be in Houston together. We're going to be there with the great Joey Coco Diaz. It's
Sweet.
A bona fide experience, ladies and gentlemen. And what is that, like October 7th? October 7th. And that's at the Verizon Wireless Theater. And this weekend, September 23rd. Yeah, September 23rd. With Joey and Ari. And we're going to be in Denver, Colorado. We're at the Paramount Theater, and it's almost sold out. It's going to be a lot of fucking fun. I haven't been back to Denver in a long time, so I'm looking forward to that. So that should be the shit. And then the weekend after that, the first week in October? Oh, no, the 30th. The 30th of September, I'm in Washington, D.C., and that's at the Warner Theater, and that's with Ari Shaffir. All right, you dirty bitches. You guys are awesome. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for lasting, all you Ustream freaks. You hung in there, and all you people that are listening to this at the gym and go, this is a very disjointed fucking weirdo podcast. Yes and no. Surely we could edit this and get the good parts, and it would be an hour and 45 minutes of absolute deliciousness.
This would be really good at 145.
At 145, this podcast would be the shit. But I'm sorry, we don't have that for you today. We have 2 hours and 20 minutes of disjointed conversation. Some of it's entertaining.
Cut into thousands of pieces on YouTube.
And some of it is just plain cunty. So thanks for tuning in to the podcast. And thanks for everything. And thanks to the Fleshlight for sponsoring the podcast. And if you go to joerogan.net, click on the link for the Fleshlight and enter in the code name Rogan, you will get 15% off the number one sex toy for men. Oh, shit. Brendan Walsh is going to take one home with him and shoot mad loads in that shit, son.
I don't know if I can trust myself. Well, I will.
You're going to do it. I'm going to be back on Sunday, this Sunday evening with Graham Hancock, and that is going to be fucking awesome. One of my favorite authors of all time. If you've never heard of him, go look him up online. Watch some of his videos on YouTube. Google him. Buy his books. Fingerprints of the Gods changed the way I looked at the world, and he's going to be here this Sunday. So that's it. I'll see you guys soon. Thanks for everything. Bye-bye.